He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday morning. It is the December 15th live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, in Charleston, South Carolina this morning, where it's a little overcast, but pretty nice day. And Stephen Gunderson, I think. We have Stephen in the Carlsbad studios. Okay.
How's
the weather there?
Beautiful.
Good weather in Carlsbad as usual. Well, we've got good weather in the market today. We've got the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 103 points. You know, I was wondering how many times since November when Donald Trump, the surprise election, how many times have we said the market's up 100 points or more?
Seriously.
Quite a few times, triple digits. And it seems to have been commonplace during this last 14 months now. The Dow up 103 to 24,612. Meanwhile, we've got the S&P 500 up almost 14 points to 2,665. The NASDAQ's up 31 today. That's a half a percent. I think a lot of that's Adobe, maybe. We own some Adobe in our premier growth portfolio. NASDAQ at 6,888, just 112 points away from 7,000 on the NASDAQ. The Russell 2000 is up 9 to 1516. Oil up 19 cents. We're at $57.23. Gold not doing so hot these days. I think Bitcoin overshadows gold quite a bit these days. Gold is up $1 per ounce to $1,258 per ounce. Silver is up 11 cents to $16.05. And last but not least, the all-important bond market, the 10-year yields at 2.37%. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson in sunny South Carolina this morning, visiting family for the holidays. We're in downtown Charleston, where as I look across the skyline, I see booms, cranes, building, construction, jobs just about everywhere I look across the Charleston skyline. A little bit more sanguine there in Carlsbad. I don't see a lot of new construction going on around us. Do you, Stephen? Do you see any cranes out there on the horizon?
No, I think everything's pretty much built over here.
Yeah, I think, we bought into the last housing track, new housing track. Oh, there's a few still. But in that La Costa area, I can't see any more new housing tracts going up, just restaurants and shopping centers and all the usual. Well, yesterday we had quite a dramatic turnaround in the market. In fact, I had kind of hung it up for the day. There was about 1 hour left of trading to go. And I said, yeah, I'm done for the day. There's not much more I can do. It was a quiet day. And then all of a sudden I got a text message from Stephen, and it said, "That stupid Marco Rubio."
Yeah.
Now, Stephen, that's not nice to call a sitting senator from Florida stupid.
I just said stupid little Marco.
Stupid little Marco Rubio, yeah. Yes. Double. What happened late in the day yesterday that caused us to curse Mr. Rubio?
So he said he was a no on the tax vote because it didn't do enough to address the child tax credits. That's
the
his
child
big sticking tax. Point.
I thought I saw a bunch of children marching yesterday carrying signs, "We want a tax cut."
Yeah.
They looked like kindergartners to me. Thanks, Marco. Well, Marco's out for the little guy, including the fifth graders, I guess. And we just don't want any delays now. We're now December the 15th. President Trump has promised the tax cut by Christmas Eve. That leaves us with 9 days. And last I heard, everybody was on board, and apparently Mr. Rubio got off that bandwagon yesterday. rooting for the little guy. And, of course, the market, it sent the market down quite a bit, that news. I think we were having a pretty good day. We were well into positive territory.
Yeah,
I thought I thought all of our safe stocks were safe and sound, and that I could go do a little exercise and be done trading for the day. And the next thing I know, we were slightly negative on the day. And that news about Marco Rubio was blamed for the stumble in the averages yesterday. So that's how tightly the markets are watching this whole tax reform bill, which is now being consolidated and rectified between the Senate and the House. We thought they had a deal. In fact, that's what Orrin Hatch from Utah said, but apparently he wasn't, never asked, nobody ever asked little Marco.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, today they're working again feverishly. Apparently things look better for that bill today because we do have a triple-digit gain in the market here so far on this Friday, December 15th, which promises to be a heavy Christmas shopping weekend, I would say. Now, where we're staying, we're just about a few blocks from King Street in downtown Charleston, and it's several blocks long of really nice shopping, outdoor shopping, kind of like Rodeo Drive without all the big names, not all the Gucci's and all of this and that, but some pretty good stores. So I think we'll probably be doing a little Christmas shopping ourselves this weekend. What will companies do with those tax cuts that they receive? Well, at least one CEO has chimed in. CEO Gary Kelly of Southwest Airlines. We all know that symbol, love, L-U-V. He said that his company, or he as a CEO, would use the tax savings to line his own pocket. No, I'm just kidding. He says he would use the tax savings to buy new airplanes. Okay, well, that's good news for Boeing, and to fund share buybacks, buy back their own shares. He said that he also thinks that Boeing could be a big winner as jet demand increases. He also thinks maybe, I'm not holding my breath on this one, fares might go down a little bit. Do you think they would pass the tax savings along to the passenger, or will the seats get smaller and where the guy sitting next to you get bigger? I just hate having an armpit in my face as I travel from Phoenix to Dallas. But you know what? They've always been kind of a cattle herding outfit there at Southwestern. They make a lot of money.
But yeah, I was going to say that I don't think the seats can get much smaller.
No, the seats can't get much smaller. We'd all have to be the size of Marco Rubio to fit it. Anyways, he will use the savings, this is good news, to buy new planes. All right, with smaller seats, maybe bigger seats, who knows. That's good news, I guess, for the economy. We're hoping, that's what the hopes are for the tax cuts. And as far as share buybacks, that's good for shareholders because that increases earnings, that increases the value of the company, and that increases the value of the shares. And if you own the shares in a 401k or in an IRA, in a Roth IRA, that helps you. Well, we got a little bit of a trade war going on in India, okay? India is a huge market. In fact, it's as big as China, almost as big as China. India, I think, I want to say 1.2 billion people, one-sixth of the world's population. They're going to raise their import tax on electronics to prioritize goods manufactured in the country. Now, this is something Trump might have started. Nationalism, protectionism. India wants to protect their products and tax imports. This is bad news for Apple. The cell phone tax would increase from 10% to 15%. That could diminish Apple's struggling market share in the region. So, yeah, I mean, Apple would love to sell more phones in India. They would love to see every person in India carrying an iPhone. But if a person in India has got to pay 15% more for an iPhone versus a domestic brand of phone, that's a big hurdle for Apple to cross. So not good news for Apple and other exporters of electronics items into India. Well, today is newsletter day, and I'm already putting my ducks in a row. Quack, quack, quack. There's a few that I've got so far, and we'll see what the most important story of the week was. I would say without question, it was the upgrades and the downgrades that I made in my own database this week on some very large companies. I downgraded some earnings estimates and some price targets on several companies, and I turned around and sold those stocks. And at the same time, I revised upwards several estimates upwards, and I revised those price targets higher, and I bought several of those stocks. So it could be a very interesting lesson this week in the newsletter on valuations and how to use that in your process for buying stocks. I don't hear any music yet. The music
started.
Playing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there it goes. There it goes. I'll tell you what, the giant crane in front of me just is lowering and hiring about 10 porta-potties. I hope the guys aren't in them. I hope the guys aren't in them. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Bill is, I don't know, he's out, he's gone for now, but he'll be back in a little bit. I also wanted to give an update, sorry, on Bitcoin prices. I know everyone out there is anxious to hear how it's trading today. So let me go through those prices right now. Bitcoin is up today 1,120 points. It's up to $17,626. It's up 6.8% today. Ethereum is up $15, up to $694. That's a 2.2% gain. And then Litecoin. Oh, there you are. I'm just finishing my Bitcoin update. Litecoin.
I'm glad because that was our next subject was Bitcoin. So go ahead with your quote.
All right. So the last one, Litecoin is up $34 to $309, and it's up 12.5% today.
Well, what was Bitcoin up again? I missed it.
It's up 6.8%. It's up to 17,626.
Okay, I see an article this morning. Deutsche Bank is blaming Japanese men behind the Bitcoin surge. There's been a shift that says that the Japanese love to play currencies. And a lot of the women in particular love to play currencies. Well, now it's the men, and they're playing the cryptocurrencies. They're claiming that 40% of the Bitcoin action is currently yen-dominated.
Huh,
so you've got Japanese men sitting at home playing Bitcoin. Now, earlier in the week, we had a warning from the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, about Bitcoin.
Well, are you going to talk about the Financial Conduct Authority?
Yes, I am. That is like the SEC in the British Isles.
Yeah.
In England. Bitcoin buyers have been issued a serious warning from one of Britain's leading financial regulators. Listen to this. Listen to this one. Please listen.
All right.
If you want to invest in Bitcoin, be prepared to lose all your money. Financial Conduct Authority CEO Andrew Bailey told the BBC Newsnight yesterday. He added that a lack of backing from governments, which I'm sure the Bitcoin people, that's music to their ears because they're anti-government,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Because of that lack of backing from government and central banks, as well as similar risks to gambling are evidence that the cryptocurrency is not a secure investment. And what's Bitcoin doing in response to that? It's up 5% today.
Yeah.
To 17,307. You know what? I'm going to continue to avoid the Bitcoin craze.
Yeah.
You know, and I also, hey,
yeah.
there's another one. Here's another story that is nuts. Our friend Andrew left at Citron, is the big short seller.
I know, yeah. Okay.
Did you see what he said yesterday about that GBTC?
I do know he's been shorting it since it was like $700 a share, so I don't think he's doing very well in it.
he's getting killed. But he says that it's 80% overvalued. It's trading 80% premium to the price of the underlying asset, Bitcoin.
Yeah, now, but you say he's always wrong.
Well, I mean, he's not wrong about the numbers. The numbers are right. So you've got 80% worth of hype and fluff and whatever else in GBTC, and I just wouldn't go near it, and yet GBTC said he got a new high again today. So,
I don't understand that GBTC either, because yesterday Bitcoin was down about 5%, and it finished up on the day. So I don't understand the correlation.
Well, there isn't a correlation, and that's Andrew Left's big argument against the Bitcoin Investment Trust, is it's way ahead of the actual price of Bitcoin.
Well, you're better off just buying Bitcoin if you want to invest in it.
Exactly. Let's get back to autonomous cars here. I have not seen an autonomous car in South Carolina yet. I've seen plenty of big Boeing jets out in front of the plant where they build them, but no autonomous cars yet. I see that Czechoslovakia, BMW, is going to build a $100 million test track in Czechoslovakia in order to check the cars out, I guess, for their self-driving and electric cars. So BMW, it's coming. The group plans to introduce its first highly automated. Now, they're going to have different designations. Most cars coming off the assembly line today have some automated autonomous driving capabilities. Is that not correct? I mean, my car, right, Stephen?
Yeah.
Has some autonomous capabilities of staying within the lanes, which my wife says, like, swerving into the next lane, look out. And, you know, I guess now the car will yell at me. And help me out, stay within the lanes, and things like this. But, you know, and as these cars come off the line, they're going to have more and more and more autonomous capabilities. Do I have the parallel park capability? We haven't checked that out yet. You think I do?
I looked in your owner's manual. You do. We'll figure it out when you get back. Yeah,
I want to try that out. I'm dying to try it out. Okay, there's more news on the autonomous car front. And, of course, we own several of the companies that are involved in autonomous technology. That's the way I play it. I don't think the play is BMW. I don't think the play is Ford. I don't think the play is General Motors. I think the play is the companies that make the technology, the picks and the shovels, or the gold miners and, the gold rush of 49. Anyways, Ford, on the other hand, they're going to relocate their self-driving and electronic vehicle unit from Dearborn, Michigan to Detroit, marking the automaker's first facility within Detroit city limits in several years. The team in Corktown will be led by Sharif Marakbi, Ford's vice president of autonomous vehicles and electrification, while the company will begin testing its latest self-driving technology in 2018. Isn't that coming up?
Yes,
2018 is coming up in 2 weeks. So this whole thing is moving along, and I think you just have to own some of these stocks that have exposure. How important is a CEO at a company? Well, earnings are extremely important, and, you know, in the second half of the show, I want to get into some stocks that I upgraded yesterday and some stocks that I downgraded yesterday. And I took action on those stocks because of those upgrades and downgrades. Well, today we've got a CEO who's taking a leave of absence at CSX Railroad with health issues. That's Hunter Harrison, who's highly regarded. He's a highly regarded railroad CEO. When CSX hired him, the stock zoomed higher. And you can see what the stock is doing today. It's down 7.5% on news that he will be taking a medical leave of absence. We don't know what the issue is, but we wish Hunter Harrison the best of luck. We do own CSX. So you say, what are all the things that can make a stock go down? Well, how about the CEO going into taking a medical leave of absence? Add that to your list. That's number 112.
That's hard to predict.
Yeah, that's pretty hard to predict. Well, when we come back, I got some predictions for you on some individual stocks. This is Bill Gunderson and Stephen Gunderson. It's the best. Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour on this Friday. This is Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. If you'd like to sign up for this week's newsletter, I'll be updating the price target on the market for next year, 2018, and even now looking into 2019. These are based on the numbers that are out there today, the multiples that I am using, the interest rates that currently prevail in the marketplace. I'll be going over the leading sectors in the market. As we begin a new year, there definitely has been some sector rotation here. I'll be going over the leading asset classes, namely stocks versus bonds, indexes around the world, where the hot spots are around the world, where the places to avoid are around the world. We'll be taking a look at mutual funds. We'll be taking a look at the leading ETFs in the market right now as we get ready to turn the corner on 2018. I'll have an update on all my portfolios, the model portfolios, and how they have done this year, 2018. They all did very, very well, obviously. And I'll have my article, my lead article, which goes out to everybody, even the people that get the free version of the newsletter, talking about the events of the week and some of the major upgrades and downgrades that I made during the week in various stocks and various sectors of the market. You know, sometimes it begins with the macro picture of a sector. Let me give you a couple of examples here. I read an article here today, Stephen, on a very insignificant stock, okay? ARRS. Okay, this is a tiny little company. It's a $5 billion market cap company headquartered in Sewanee, Georgia, which is not too far from, well, it's in the Atlanta area, about 4 hours from where I am right now. The news on the stock was not that significant, but the company is down, let's see, the stock was down 6.3% yesterday, while the company warned of margin pressures from memory pricing. Now, this is something that I've been writing about in my newsletter in the last few weeks and in the live trading notifications that I've sent out. I've also been concerned with falling DRAM prices and other types of semiconductor chips, particularly the memory chips, which are commodities. They are a commodity like oil. When there's too much oil on the market, the price of oil goes down. And when there's a lot of demand and not enough supply, conversely, the price goes up. Well, I've heard others warning about dropping prices in NAND chips and in DRAM, dynamic random access memory chips. And, you know, that conjures up names like Micron Technology, NVIDIA, STM Electronics, many semiconductor companies. And I've spent a lot of time this past week, in particular, on this sector, the semiconductor sector, which was one of the leading sectors in 2017. And we've seen a pretty dramatic rotation, which at first I thought was just rebalancing by the big boys out of the laggards or out of the leaders and into the laggards. But now I'm starting to see it show up in earnings estimates, not for the entire sector, but without question, and Stephen, you see all of the live trading notifications that I put out. Yeah. I mean, we locked in some hefty profits this past week. In fact, you know, I'm not going to name the stock, but we sold one for 168% profit. because I saw a pretty dramatic downgrade to future expectations. And I redid my numbers on several and have definitely lightened up in that area. Now, somebody asked me, they sent me an email, are you negative on the whole semiconductor sector? And I said, no, it depends upon the stock. You know, right. It's always stock specific. But I would say overall, from a macro point of view on the sector, I would say that expectations are being lowered. And I would say that maybe the demand and prices, semiconductor prices and semiconductor stocks, we may have seen a peak here recently for now. And now we have to work off excess supply in the market. And that's going to hurt the sales and it's going to hurt the profit margins of some of the semiconductor companies. And at the same time, I'm seeing other industries, I'm seeing the exact opposite happen, where their expectations are being upgraded. And I would say the biggest reason right now that companies are being upgraded, well, you can take the financials and the banking sector. Higher interest rates are expected in 2018. That's bullish for the financials. The Fed raised interest rates this past week. The ECB kept their interest rates flat. I would expect another 3 to 4 interest rate hikes in 2018. I would expect a negative year in the bond market in 2018. I would expect higher interest rates in 2018, and that is good for some sectors and bad for other sectors. It may eventually start to hurt the housing sector, for instance, the construction, the building sectors, higher interest rates. But at the same time, the lenders and the financials and the companies that hold a lot of cash and a lot of short-term assets, they're going to get a boost to their earnings expectations from these changing expectations. Another thing that you're seeing here right now is the financials and the banks pay a much higher real tax rate than the technology stocks do. The technology stocks have way more deductions, including the research and development deduction. So they will not get as big of a benefit from the lowering of the corporate tax rate, apparently to 21% now. They won't get the same size benefit that the financials and the banks will get. And we're seeing the estimates and the expectations for the banks and the financials being revised higher. I'm not saying across the board in every sector, but I think that the financials and the banks are sitting pretty as we enter into 2018. So sometimes you got to look at the big macro picture, and sometimes it's buried in a little announcement like Aris Electronics out of Sewanee, Georgia. There was a little gem in there about the continued pressure on memory prices. Another thing that I noticed yesterday, Stephen, I know you're not a part of this, but video game sales jumped 30% from last year.
Wow.
They rose 30% year over year in November, rebounding from last month's decline, with broad gains and not unexpected goosing from the annual Call of Duty entry. Who's Call of Duty? Is that Activision?
Yes, I believe so.
And that's the one that we own. And Activision, I guess every year they come out with the new and latest, greatest, the newest version of Call of Duty, and that helped juice the video game sales 30% year over year. Overall sales rose to $2.7 billion. Hardware sales vaulted 52%, while software sales rose 19%, and accessory sales were up 11%. What is the hardware now? What's the most popular video game hardware? Is it Sony PlayStation?
You still have to go with the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One, and then a big new one is the Nintendo Switch, which has actually been pretty popular.
Ah, I think you got it. Yeah, I think that's the one, Nintendo Switch. Call of Duty World War II topped the dollar sales chart for software. and becomes the bestseller of both 2017, and of course that's Activision, which we own. How's the chart looking today? ATVI, nice chart. What's it ranked overall in the app?
So, all right, let's see here.
$50 billion company.
Number 161.
There you go. That's one of the reasons why we own it. $50 billion company, video games. Who would have ever thought? It topped the rollout of Star Wars Battlefront 2. That's Electronic Arts. We do not own Electronic Arts. That's EA. That chart definitely not as good. And rounding out the top 10 in dollar sales, Madden NFL, NBA, NBA 2K, 18. That's Take-Two Interactive. We own that one too. So the macro picture for video games, very good. The macro picture for memory, very poor. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. So far, we have talked about little Marco Rubio. Apparently, he's in line today. I don't know. The market certainly thinks that it doesn't seem to be worried about the tax bill today. Southwest says they'll spend their tax savings on buying new airplanes and maybe give you a few more almonds on those trips from Phoenix to Dallas. India is raising their import tax on outside technological products like Apple iPhones. That's not good news for Apple. Let's see if Apple is reacting to that news at all today. Apple is actually up. Pretty nice little move there by Apple. We talked about Bitcoin. You got to talk about Bitcoin on a daily basis. Today, it's not the SEC, it's the FCA out of Great Britain warning that you could lose all your money. Be prepared to lose all your money in Bitcoin. BMW spending $100 million on a test track in Czechoslovakia for their autonomous car program. Ford is going to build a plant in Detroit for the first time in several years within the city limits for their self-driving efforts on their autonomous car technology. We got a CEO that is on medical leave. The stock is down 7%. That's CSX Corp, which I want to say is headquartered in Jacksonville, Florida, of all places. And video game sales up 30% from last year. Seems like the two big winners are the two that we own, which are Activision, ATVI. You know what? I'm going to have to play one of these sometime just to see what it's all about. I own these stocks. And, of course, Take-Two Interactive, that's the NBA one, Steven. You ever play that NBA video game?
I have. It's kind of tough to play the NBA games on consoles for me, but the Madden is the best one out there. That one's always fun.
Madden is football.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll have to have a little season, you and I. We'll have playoffs and everything. Well, in our spare time. Okay, and lastly, a little gem in a company report of little renown, Aris Corp. Out of Sewanee, Georgia. They're worried about margin pressures from memory pricing to stretch some distance into next year. And that obviously conjures up names like Micron, NVIDIA, STM, Analog Devices, and all the rest. I want to finish today by talking about a company that is in the news that we own, Adobe Systems. Adobe Systems, Photoshop, PDF files, any kind of graphics, print shop. I mean, it pretty much has revolutionized and digitized the printing business. Huge company, Adobe, headquartered in the Bay Area. I've driven by many of Adobe's facilities up there in the Silicon Valley. $86 billion market cap company, a major player in the NASDAQ. Adobe did something that a lot of companies are doing these days. They went to a subscription model. Remember, you used to have to buy Photoshop,
right.
And then when the upgrade came along, you had to pay to get all the new bells and whistles.
Yep.
And then you'd get all the bells and whistles, and you wish you had the old version again, yeah. Because there were too many bells and whistles to learn. I'm sure that's true with, like, Madden, right? Aren't there so many bells and whistles now, it's just almost impossible to learn all of the nuances and everything?
Yeah, it's still
fun,
though.
Okay, well, Adobe Systems went to a subscription model, and we subscribed to it. Was it $69 a month?
Yeah, I think that sounds right.
Somewhere in there. And that entitled you to the whole suite of Adobe products and, of course, all of the upgrades and unlimited all-you-can-eat like a buffet, like a digital printing buffet. And, of course, it's worked out really well for Adobe, who's looking for 28% growth in earnings this year. They're looking for 20% growth in earnings next year. What is Adobe currently ranked in the Best Stocks Now app? We do own it in our premier growth portfolio. It's still a terrific growth stock, and it's a large cap company. I got to believe it's ranked in the top 200, isn't it?
Number 267.
Okay, well, I was close. And what's over the last year, what was the peak in rank?
The peak looks like it was 50 at one point.
Yeah, 50. So we continue to own it. Still a good chart. What's my five-year target price on Adobe?
Let's see. We have 335.
Okay, and it's at 175, so that's significant. That's 80 to 90% upside potential. Okay, they reported earnings. I want to say they beat their earnings by, Adobe beat by 10 cents.
Oh, 10 cents, yeah.
And they beat on revenues. And so I got to believe that those numbers sometime next week will be going a little bit higher on my earnings estimates, a little bit higher on the growth rate, and we continue to own Adobe. Okay, well, Stephen, I am done talking. I've got
right.
An article to write. You do about 75% of the newsletter, all the numbers and graphics. Tell them all about it, will you?
All right, and I also wanted to give an update on the tax bill because Marco Rubio was a no yesterday. But reportedly that the child tax care credit has been lifted to $1,400 from $1,100. So now he is a yes. So there
Thank
we go
Marco.
There. Thank you, Marco. So if you are interested in getting the newsletter, we send it out hopefully by the end of today. If not, we'll get it tomorrow. You can sign up for it at GundersonCapital.com. And if you haven't received it before, you can sign up for a free 4-week trial. And that will give you access to the full enchilada that will have all the model portfolios and all of Bill's market commentary. And you'll get that free for 4 weeks.
2 weeks, actually.
2 weeks, and then you get another
two weeks
after that.
Then we go down to the premium, yeah, without
right.
support, everything but the portfolio.
Right, okay.
And yeah, okay.
So if sign up at GundersonCapital.com. There's a newsletter tab there where you can sign up. And if you already get it, you'll be getting it hopefully by the end of today. And if you're interested in money management, you can call us at 855-611-BEST or also visit our website again, GundersonCapital.com. So you got anything else for us, Bill?
No. You know what? I think we'll probably have a pretty quiet week in the market next week. Probably get a little bit of rotation, a little bit of selling the big winners, tax selling, but there's always opportunity. You know, I go through the market every day, maybe find one or two good ones.
All right.
When I do, I send them out.
All right. Well, have a good weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.